Hello and welcome to I Can't Believe It's Not the Mouse, the podcast all about animation not made by the mouse. I'm your host, Octaviano Macias, and today, you know, when it comes to animation sequels, I think the king of them is DreamWorks. Of course, there's been a lot of studios that have made sequels, Disney, Pixar, Blue Sky. I just named a bunch of stuff that Disney owns, Illumination. But to me, I think DreamWorks usually does it best. And this isn't to say that they're the ones who have only made good ones. Like, you know, I don't want people thinking that I'm out here calling out any other specific studio as crap. But I do think that they're consistently going to interesting places with their sequels. Even if they aren't all great, like, yeah, you know, you go to Pixar and, you know, you got Toy Story 2, Toy Story 3, both incredible sequels. And there's even some other ones that I do like from them. But I don't know. To me, it's just like DreamWorks. I don't know if it's because they're more open to the idea of sequels, that they always kind of open their movies to them. Because, you know, with a lot of Disney ones, they're not really open to them. Or it's just something else entirely. But consistently, I'm like, even their weaker ones tend to have something interesting in them. There are some that I don't think quite hit the high of their usual stuff, but for the most part, I do like their stuff. Even though I've never talked about the first movie, and I'll probably do that at some point. It's not something that is too high on my list. I figured, you know what, let's just skip ahead. I'll talk about Trolls 2. So with Trolls 2, there's a lot to enjoy. Just to be clear, the first Trolls movie was just, to me, a very forgettable, average, decent animated feature. Like, the animation in it, great, very trippy, and on that front, I give him high marks. But the movie itself, from what I remember, was just like, okay, so here's some pop songs, here's a basic rescue story about, you know, trolls trying to rescue their people, and there's a bit of a, I guess you could say, like, a racial vibe to it, because there's these creatures that are eating them, and eventually it's all about, you know, teaching those creatures, like, you know, hey, we're people too, or something like that. It's whatever. It's nothing incredible, nothing great. There are a few moments that I remember were kind of like, oh, that's kind of cool to do. But we're not here to talk about that one today. Trolls 2, on the other hand, is just a massive step up. Like, the animation is even better than the last one, but it also just fully digs in on the whole racial themes, the cultural themes. It makes the whole movie actually about something. And while the message, of course, has its, well, I wouldn't say its flaws, but the way it's delivered is kind of like, okay, that's a little confusing given how, you know, for example, like, the main characters are like the pop trolls, and you kind of realize, like, wait a second, you know, they eventually started producing, like, you know, like, K-pop trolls and reggaeton trolls and stuff like that, and it's like, shouldn't some of that music kind of fall under, you know, some of that stuff? Because, like, you know, there's even like a scene where the characters are doing like a montage of like the greatest pop songs, and they even include like Gangnam Style, which I'm like, wait, wouldn't that kind of fall under K-pop, if I'm not mistaken? But I don't know. It's definitely just minor stuff that you can just chalk up to, like, look, that's not really the focus. That's just a little thing. That's kind of a gag. It's because the thing is that the movie is full-on absurd humor. It's very much like the kind of stuff that you would see, like, and like classic cartoons, stuff like Looney Tunes and whatnot, where it's like a lot of it is just meant to be, I wouldn't say fourth wall breaking, but it's to a point where it's like it could be, and there's not really a sound logic to a lot of it. You just kind of go with it. So on that front, I guess it doesn't really matter. And realistically, it doesn't even hurt the messages of the movies. It's just one of those things where if you sit down and think about it, it starts to be like, wait a second, that doesn't add up to this, but at the very least, the heart of the message is unaffected by it, which is great to me, because the problem with a lot of animated movies that do like the whole racial thing is that you have to do these things, you know, so simple, you know, for kids to understand, because a lot of these are targeted for kids, that it results in the movie kind of creating issues. Like, not that I hate like Zootopia, I think it's a fine movie, but you know, some of the messages in it get kind of confusing, because you kind of get confused, like, wait a second, is this supposed to be a racial message, or is this supposed to be a female, like, you know, a sexism message? Because you'll have stuff like, okay, Judy Hopps, the main character of Zootopia, just to be clear, I'm talking about that just to give you an idea, she's treated like she can't be a cop because she's a rabbit, and rabbits aren't strong creatures, I guess, and they're small and whatnot. And it's like, okay, so that sounds like a whole, you know, woman in the police force kind of thing. A little weird, because you do see female cops in it, but you know, we'll ignore that for a bit. And then there's stuff about her basically saying like, oh, you can't call a bunny you can't call a bunny cute, because that's kind of offensive. So it's like, okay, so now we're treating that like a slur, so now it's like a racial thing, and it gets confused. And that's not even touching the whole of it. There's a lot of stuff that people have talked about, and it doesn't ruin the message in that movie, but it also just doesn't help. I feel like in those terms, Trolls 2, Trolls World Tour is much, it's much better. Like, it is a lot more consistent and more clear, to where, like, yeah, even like the parts where they have fault are easily ignorable. Like, you can just get by with it, no problem. Just to give you a quick idea, so yeah, the movie is called Trolls World Tour. The movie deals with how this rock troll, Queen Barb, is basically going around. Essentially, it's like the whole Infinity War Thanos thing, where it's like they had to collect like certain things from every area. In this case, it's like strings of each nation's music, because basically you have like the main nations, which are pop trolls, that's the main one we follow, the rock trolls, the classical trolls, the techno trolls, the country trolls, and the funk trolls. So again, it's the Infinity War thing. The general idea is that each string is what produces the music of each type of troll. And if you can control all of them, you can control music. So the rock troll is pretty much like, you know, I want everything to be rock, which I kind of like the fact that they made the rock troll the villain here, just because, you know, as a fan of rock and knowing people who are fans of it, it's probably the music genre that you get the most people out of it, that are pretty much like, you know, other forms of music are crap, or you know, like, it's even been done to death, you know, if we're being honest, like the whole stereotype of like the rocker who sees everything, all other music is beneath rock. That I think was kind of a cool choice. So basically she's on her way doing that, and early on Poppy, the queen of the pop trolls, voiced by Anna Kendrick, is pretty much like, okay, you know, she just wants to unite us, so that's a good thing. Her love interest and the co-star Branch, voiced by Justin Timberlake, questions more on this, because Branch is pretty much like, look, I don't think that she's trying to be friendly, which it turns out that, of course, yeah, she's not trying to be friendly. And that's another thing about the movie, is that it's pretty much also a story about listening to your friends and whatnot. Whatever, it doesn't find it, you know, it lends itself well to its main message of cultural differences and stuff like that. Basically, they go on this quest. Poppy initially takes her string to present it to Barb, and it soon becomes clear, like, okay, she's not out to just, you know, befriend everyone. She's trying to forcefully take all these things to force everyone into rock. So it becomes a whole journey about these characters, you know, of course, learning about themselves and just trying to figure out how they can unite trolls again, which the movie at some point points out, like, especially once they meet the funk trolls, who basically they do like a retcon, because like one of the characters from the last movie is revealed to be a funk troll. He wasn't aware of it, because basically he was lost and found by the Paw Patrols. Basically, you know, it's the four-legged troll, the most different looking one of the bunch, if we're being honest. So that was kind of a neat change to it. And they're quick to point out, like, okay, yeah, he's actually a funk troll. And the funk trolls do want to help Poppy, but they're quick to point out, like, okay, we want to help you, but at the same time, we don't want to unite the strings because we know what happened. And it's an interesting thing where they reveal the backstory, and it's pretty much the whole thing where it's like, yeah, it turns out that even though, like, the father had initially told Poppy that the whole basically the whole reason why they're separated was because their music got so different that they each decided to go their separate ways, the funk trolls are quick to point out, like, okay, and it's kind of like, you know, like, of course, like an actual thing that people would say, but done more cutesy to reflect this movie, where it's like, oh, your picture book or whatever is just glued together from the winners or something like that. And it's playing, like, look, Paw Patrols actually came in, they took strings, they were pretty much doing, like, remixes, covers, all this stuff on a bunch of different music, and they were turning it into pop music. Pretty much they were forcing pop down everyone's throats to a point that they were pretty much zombifying, essentially, everyone to be pop. So, like, the elders of the other music pretty much came in, stole their strings, and just decided to go their separate ways. Essentially revealing that the main characters that we've been following are descendants of essentially a bad person, which is great. It's basically, again, a great little metaphor for, like, you know, culture diversity and all that, where it's like, yeah, you guys caused a lot of problems, and, you know, you've been sanitizing your history to a point that it's seen as this cute little thing that acknowledges a bad thing happened but doesn't acknowledge your part in it, which is true to a lot of society. And I like the fact that it also works as a metaphor for, like, the way, well, I don't know if I'd say metaphor, but pretty much, like, it's a commentary on also music, because there is a lot of pop covers and remixes of stuff that wasn't pop, which is not necessarily bad, but it is funny to consider, like, a, you know, with the amount that it is done, more so than, you know, the other genres of music, at least from a certain perspective, isn't it kind of like you're trying to force it down, even though you're, you know, not thinking of it as that way? So it ends up being a great way to combine that with the whole thing about, you know, cultural appropriation. And, you know, it's acknowledging, look, we respect what you do, but at the same time, we want our music to stay the same, because we want our identity to be seen. Because that's one of the great things about the movie, is that whereas a lot of racial stories for kids, and even some for adults, tend to go with the whole, hey, you know, we're all the same at the end of the day, this one's proud to announce, like, no, we're not all the same, and that's okay. We have our own things, we have our own lives, we have our own stories to tell, and we should be allowed to embrace those sides of us instead of having to try to clean it up to be like that other thing that you are. Which, again, I think it's a great way to handle that, and the movie itself is all the better for it, because, you know, even if it didn't have that stuff, it would still at least be a really funny movie. There's a lot of absurd humor. This one, I think, gets a lot funnier than the first one does, because they fully delve in on just the weirdness of it. Like, things like, you know, like a pinky promise or a high five are turned into, like, these epic acts. A lot of things are just alive in this. Like, you know, you get tears, crying. Like, you know, a person will cry out tears, and then that tear will cry out more tears. Or, like, there's a, you know, like I mentioned earlier, there's a scene where they sing, like, a Gundam style, and that whole scene is basically them singing, like, pop's greatest hits to try to convince the country trolls to join their side, and it doesn't go well because they're like, dude, this is annoying shit. And, you know, it's funny, because a lot of people, I remember when this came out, would use that clip as an example of why the movie was bad, and I'm like, you realize that in context, the whole point of that scene is that they're being annoying, right? Like, at the very least, if you're going to complain about something, at least know the context behind it. You don't have to like it, but at the very least, understand that that's what's going on. So you saying that it's annoying is like, well, yeah, that's the point. But, you know, what's funny about it is that by the end of it, no one's, of course, impressed by it. But you even see, like, a tumbleweed go by, and if you pay attention, you notice that it tells them that they suck. Which is something that I didn't catch the first time I saw it, where I just thought that it was just some random troll in the background that we weren't seeing, just saying, you suck. But then, if you actually pay attention to tumbleweed, you actually notice it has a little mouth that goes wide. So stuff like that is great. And on that front, like, you know, even if you're not noticing the racial stuff, which if you don't notice that, you're probably got to, you know, you're probably a little kid who's too young to understand this stuff because it's beating you over the head with it, but in a good way. It still has plenty to offer. That's fun. Like I mentioned before, the animation is great. I would say, because basically what the animation is done like, it's kind of like a craft, like a homemade crafts kind of movie. Like, it's definitely more advanced than, you know, just, you know, someone who just puts googly eyes on a paper cup or whatever, but it kind of feels like it would be right at home with that. Like, I don't know how many of you have ever played, like, the game, the Yoshi's Crafted World game, but it reminds me a lot of that, where a lot of it just feels like something that someone just glued together, because, like, you'll get, like, liquid having, like, this weird look to it where it doesn't look like actual, like, for example, with the lava, a lot of the stuff that pops up, it looks like pieces of paper painted that way. Some of the liquid I noticed look kind of like gel that someone would find like at a store, or even just like clay. Even some of the movie movement can be a little choppy to reflect that, but in a good, you know, like in a way that actually fits with what they're doing. Like at some point when they head into like the classical troll village, there's after destruction, like the one of the few things that survive is like this little penny whistle, and the way it's moving is like, you know, like it's, you know, like I said, it's very choppy, but it works. It's like it makes it look kind of like stop motion. But yeah, like it's to a point where it's like, I don't know what Nintendo is planning to do with their movies, if they're just gonna go with Illumination or with other companies. And by the way, I'll have to talk about that Mario movie soon with Nintendo. Like, if they're open to doing, you know, different companies from Universal, I would say, like, if they do that Yoshi thing, you know, maybe do it with these guys, just because they really do nail that look of, like, you know, just having like an arts and crafts world, just like the texture of that. Like, even the characters themselves are very fuzzy, almost like they're made out of felt. I don't know. I really do dig that look. It's a very different, like, it looks like a standard CG movie until you actually start paying attention to it, and it that's where it really shines. And this was true even in the first one, but this one takes it to a whole different level that it just, I don't know, like it really does pop out a lot more to me. And it's just a visual feast, especially because, you know, like I said, it's a very trippy looking movie. Like this, you could turn off the audio in this and you could probably still follow along the story pretty well, but it would still be just impressive to watch just because of how much detail the animation is going through. It's just fun. Like, you know, a lot of the animation, you know, is built around just creating great gags or just very fun things to watch. Like, you know, it is a very fun movie just to look at. And, it, you know, even on that front, I could just recommend it to you just because it's just an incredible piece. I don't know. I think more movies could benefit from, you know, looking at something like this and seeing like how they go about, you know, creating their world. Because look, I'm not against, you know, CG doing its own thing, and of course things are changing now because of Spider-Verse, Puss in Boots, and whatnot. But it is nice to see when a movie creates a world based around their aesthetic. In the case of like Spider-Verse, it was like, okay, since it was a comic book movie, a lot of it looked like a comic book. With this one, since it's like, okay, so this is gonna be like a cute musical kind of thing for kids, it's based off the Trolls toys, even though, yeah, the trolls here look way more creative and cute than the actual troll dolls. It's pretty clear that, like, okay, the mindset was like, since it's gonna be like a musical, it's gonna be like this. we're going to make the world look like something that would fit that style. And I would like to see more movies go with that, where they choose a specific style to fit it. This was a lot easier with 2D, where you could have made worlds look more like, you know, like simple storybooks, or sometimes you could have done something more action-based. CG, I think, is barely coming to the point where that's becoming a little more natural, but we still got a way to go. And yeah, this is definitely one where I'm like, yeah, if you want some inspiration for something where it looks like a homemade, very detailed, but like a homemade kind of art piece, this is it. Music wise, I will say it's not the greatest suit in this. Like, not that anyone's bad at singing, everyone's, you know, good at singing in this. And, you know, there are some funk songs in here, but it's pretty much a jukebox musical. So a lot of it does come down to just them covering other people's songs. It results in like, okay, this is fun to listen to for a while, but at the end of the day, I'm going to be going back to the music, the original song of those. And again, not that they necessarily do anything bad with it. If I call it like the movie's weak aspect, it's less because that, you know, anyone does bad on it. It's just that whereas so much of it stands out as uniquely this movie, because, like I said, since it's a jukebox musical, I feel like a lot of the stuff that stands out from the music doesn't exactly stand out over like the original versions. Like, they do like a cover of Girls Wanna Have Fun at the start of the movie as Trolls Still Wanna Have Fun. Anna Kendrick is nice at singing it, and I do like how they eventually start doing a medley of other songs in there. But at the same time, it just makes me think, like, okay, I should go listen to those songs again. There's covers of, like, Crazy Train, Barracuda, and whatnot. Again, not bad. It definitely works well with the animation they're doing, and the people who are singing are good at singing, so it's fun to listen to in that regard. It just doesn't fully stand out. And look, they even have like an original song at the end of the movie where, you know, all the trolls come together and realize that, you know, their differences are great and whatnot. That song is great. But, you know, it's not enough for me to really highly recommend the music. And I'm sure that's more so on me, just because, again, a lot of these songs are songs that I've heard, so I'm more interested in listening to the original versions that they're covering. But I imagine that if you're a young kid, or if you've never heard these songs before, you'll probably fall in love with these versions more. So it's probably just more of a thing on which version you hear first. Not a knock on the movie, it's just, you know, my personal thing on, like, okay, you know, that's one part that just kind of goes out the ear, I guess, if you want to put it that way for me. But on the whole, fun movie, lot of great humor in it. There's, you know, I don't want to give away, like, you know, specific gags, but I do think that there's quite a few that will make adults laugh as well. It's not just stuff that's aimed for kids. Like, there's a whole thing early on where the two main characters, Branch and Poppy, like, Branch is the one that's more open to, like, the idea of them having a relationship than she is. Like, she seems kind of oblivious to the idea. So as he's trying to explain it to her, you know, it's one of those things where he gets, like, you know, essentially friend-zoned. Like, she tells him, like, he's a great friend or something like that. And, you know, you have this whole kind of breakdown with Branch as he's doing it. I don't want to explain how exactly it comes off, but I thought it was a really funny thing. So you get stuff like that. Again, on the whole, really fun movie if you're a fan of animation, just because the animation is great in it. But even beyond that level, I do think that it has a great story in it. I love the themes in it, the way it handles its messages. I love the fact that it does it way better than a lot of other people do. And it, to me, the fact that it was such a big step up from the first movie in those regards is why I love DreamWorks when it comes to their sequels, because a lot of their movies do wisely expand on their world. Like, this could have easily just been, okay, here's the trolls on another adventure, here's another race of creatures that are trying to eat them or something like that. But instead they were like, no, let's actually have the trolls talk about their lore. Let's have them explore like different types of music since we mostly focus on pop in the first one. Let's have the trolls actually acknowledge this stuff and, you know, let's make it about something. And it just makes it all the better. I'm hoping that the upcoming third movie does something interesting with them too. But even if it doesn't, I'm just glad that this movie exists. And it's just such a good way to showcase, like, yes, this company knows what they're doing when it comes to sequels. And I just love them for it. Thank you for listening, and I hope to see you again next time.
You suck!
Thank you for coming on today. If you enjoyed this, please consider subscribing to my YouTube channel where you'll see video versions of these podcasts. And if you just want to listen to them, there's always the option of just following the podcast on their various sites, whether it's Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. Whatever you choose, I hope you continue enjoying these. And if you want to support me even further than that, there's always the option of Patreon. With Patreon, even just a dollar will get your name on the video versions of this and on other videos that I may do outside of these podcasts. A few dollars more gets you some behind the scenes info, and as this continues to grow, you'll find that there's more perks to it. So I hope you consider supporting me through Patreon as well. And in any case, again, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.